You have your Bibles open. I want to read to you probably one of the most familiar passage scriptures in related to the Christmas story. It's read in home. We have at our home a tradition that we read the Christmas story every Christmas on Christmas Eve before we have our family open our gifts and such as that. But I hope that you will and or share this passage scripture. But I want to read from this. It's so familiar to us, but I pray God to speak to our hearts this morning. In Luke chapter number 2. And notice in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you again for your mercy and grace, for your kindness to me and my family. Thank you, God, Lord, for this gathering of God's people here today. And our Father, it just in my own heart, you've blessed me especially through this Christmas season to be here at the house of God and to see people busy serving you and loving one another and doing things for the glory of God. How it's blessed my heart as pastor. And Lord, the opportunity to be with my family, thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for this great crowd here this morning and for the wonderful privilege of preaching on the radio. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now bless our friends who listen to the ministry through the radio and those who are here in the building. God, speak to our heart. And God, if there's a lost man or woman, boy or girl who does not know him, Lord, those who have never been saved, I pray that right now, God, the Holy Ghost will do what I can't do. God, deal with their heart. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I pray for the saints of God today that our hearts would continually grow and worship you. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I made myself a list of things I wanted to say because there were so many things I wanted to say before I brought my message. And lo and behold, I forgot one of the most important. On yesterday morning, we had our annual Highway Shepherd Minister to the Highway. And we had 85 people to show up. And Brother J.C., Peggy, Chuck, Brother Roger, Brother Steve Bufkin, Mike West, I don't know who all, Brother Pete Stallings over here, anybody else that I'm, Miss Carolyn Phillips were there. All these folk came early and got breakfast and fed all that crowd, 85 people yesterday morning, and then assembled 575 bags, I believe it was. And they went out. Here's the thing. About 11 o'clock, was it 10:30, 11? It was real quick in the morning. We got the phone call. We got a phone call about 10 o'clock, 10, somewhere in there, from a trucker who'd picked, somebody had given a bag in Wilson. And it was actually a lady trucker, but she called us at home and said what a blessing it was and how God blessed her. And it was one of the children, and his name was Ben. We don't know if it's Ben here, but we think it might have been. And he fixed a beautiful bag, And she just wanted to say how wonderful, how sweet that was, and what a blessed gift it was. And I want to say thank you, and will you help me thank the Lord for all that? Amen. Those bags are scattered from Virginia down to the South Carolina line, all the way to Wilmington, and all the way back on the other side. I don't know how far Brother Steve and them went. They were going that way. They may have ended up Boone, knowing Steve. But I thank you so much for helping us do that. And that's an amazing thing. And we'll kind of keep you updated. We always get good responses. But now our time's slipping away from us fast this morning. But I've read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture. I don't know if you're like I am or not, but we have such a great time. People do share with us so many things. And then my wife, she just outdid herself for the last 2 days, the cooking, and we fed the crowd last night, and it was wonderful. I tell you, it was probably, it's hard to say it's the best, but it's one of the best Christmas meals we've had, and we had the trimmings, and everything was good. Everybody enjoyed it. It was wonderful, and then all the treats. And I tried my best to get people to take something home with them, you know, and of course, they said, we're going to come back tomorrow and eat some more. So they're all coming back today, and we'll keep eating. But I always want people to take something home with them. I want them to have something to take home. And I know you're probably the same way. And we want people to share and enjoy it, but to take something home. And I read this passage of Scripture, and as I began to think about this morning service, this is Christmas Day, and tomorrow will be a whole new day. Now, if you want a real deal, I'm talking about the best deal anywhere to be found. Go late this afternoon, maybe not on Sunday, but maybe in the morning. You can get the best deal on a Christmas tree you've ever had. I tell you, that's the best deal, is to get it afterwards. But it won't do you any good. It's good for fish hurdles. It's good for sinking with a concrete block in a pond somewhere. Crap, you come to it, boy, it's great. But anyhow, but that won't benefit you much. And truth be known, all of this eating we're doing, it's not going to be the best for us. We enjoy it, but it's not the best. But there really ought to be something you take home with you, isn't it? And when I got to reading this passage of Scripture, I want to ask you this question this morning. What is it you take home after Christmas? I was reading about the shepherds, and the Bible said that they were on the hillside, and all of a sudden there was an angel there, and they were struck with fear. Their fear filled their heart. And the angel said, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there's nothing that can remove fear like the announcement of the Savior who's come. Many people fear death. They fear consequence of their life of sin. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that fear can be removed. The Bible said he hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and a sound mind. He came to forgive us of all of our sin and give us everlasting life. He came to give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He came to give us a peace of God that passes all understanding. And what a joy that is. But the Bible says that not after that, then all of a sudden there was a great host of heavenly angels, and they proclaimed that great truth. And after they were gone, these shepherds made the journey, maybe just down the mountain a little ways, or ever how far it was, certainly not very far, outside the city of Bethlehem. And they came and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they saw, and then they told everybody in that city what the angels had told them. But I noted in this passage of Scripture that as they shared that, it said that they gave that story. They told when they'd seen it, verse 17, and when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And then if you drop down to verse number 20, it says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, what do you take home from Bethlehem? What is it that you take home from Bethlehem? Number one, they took home in this passage of Scripture, they took home an urgent message to tell. They told everybody about it. They were not trained theologians, and they'd never been to Bible college, but they had an encounter with the Lord, and they could tell what they had experienced and what they saw. You don't have to have a college degree to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, and when you meet Him and you know Him and you see Him, you've got something to tell. You've got an urgent message to tell to a lost and dying world. What brought them peace? peace. And what took away their fear is the same thing that'll take away your fear. When our little girl Christy died, my mama called me that morning. We were over at Regina's mom and dad getting ready for the funeral. My brother's 7 years older than I am, and we'd tried to witness to him since we'd been in church, and God had done a work in our heart, and we were trying to serve the Lord. But my brother Howard had no interest in the things of God. He was busy. He was a businessman, very successful. He wasn't interested in all that. And our little girl got leukemia. And over the period of time, as we went through all the sickness and all the back to the hospital, and then finally when the Lord chose to take her home, my brother, we tried to witness to him. Mama called me, and I've told the story many times. Most of you know it. But Mama called, and she said, "Billy Howard's on his way over there." And she said, "I think he's under conviction." And my brother came in, and you could tell he was a little bit emotionally shaken. And he and I and my father-in-law sitting in the living room there of my father-in-law's home, Regina's home. And we talked a few minutes. And he looked at me, and he said, "Billy," he said, "I've seen something in you and Regina and the folk from this church, Calvary Baptist Church, that I just don't have. I don't have that. What is it you've got?" Well, these shepherds were the same way. God had done something for them. They had a message to tell. And here's what I said to my brother. I said, "Howard, the only thing I have that you don't have is Jesus. That's the only difference. The only difference. What makes the difference is Jesus. And when you get to know him and you trust him as your Savior, you've got in your heart a desire to make him known to everybody. And what you ought to take away from Christmas and what you ought to take away from Bethlehem is a message that's urgent that you need to tell everybody you can that the Savior's come. Jesus Christ is born. Notice you have that message to tell because of what he did in your life, he can do in their life as well. Now notice something else. When they left, the Bible says they left, number one, glorifying, it says in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Number one, you ought to have an urgent message. You ought to take from Bethlehem a message to tell, a story to tell of a Savior who's come. And not just what he said, it said what they had seen and what they'd heard, what they experienced. And you tell people what God's done in your life. You tell that message. But the second thing, they left glorifying God. And I'm going to tell you something. Any encounter or any type of religious activity that does not point and give God all the glory is foreign to this Bible. They glorified God. I don't know what was going on in the city of Bethlehem that night. I don't know about all the glitter of the city and all those things. But when they left glorifying God. You know what? Mary was there, and there's some people who have gone to the place to where they worship Mary, and they magnify her. And I thank the Lord that God chose her. God did choose her. She's highly favored. But they didn't go away glorifying Mary. Did you know that? And Joseph was there, and he was a good man. He was not the natural father of our Lord, but he understood what was going on. He had obeyed the Holy Ghost of God. The angel said, "Don't you fear to take Mary," and he'd done that. He complied with that. I'm sure he had a lot of problems with people talking about him in the community, but he was a good man. He took good care of Mary. I'm sure he took good care of Jesus. But they didn't leave Bethlehem talking about how good a man Joseph was. They didn't leave Bethlehem giving Mary any glory. They didn't leave Bethlehem giving Joseph any glory. They left giving God all the glory. And my dear friend, when you come to Calvary and you meet him and you know Jesus Christ, what you leave with is a heart full of gratitude and glory for the Lord God eternal. You don't praise men. You don't praise denominations. You don't magnify those religious forms or rituals, but you leave glorifying God. And what you ought to take away from Bethlehem is a heart for the glory of God and to give him all the praise. I am so thankful for God's goodness to me, for all that people's done, for the blessings that people showered upon me and my family. And I know in my heart, it wouldn't be that way if it hadn't been for God. And so ultimately we give God all the glory. And for all that God's done here in this ministry and this church this past year, he gets all the glory. We ought to glorify him and magnify him, worship him, praise him, glorify him. And then it says that they live not only telling a story, they left glorifying God. But it said they left in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they'd seen. In our celebration of Christ, 8 years, I believe it is. Now, Miss Francis was saying we've done that, and she planned it and directed it, and this year was just great. But I remember the very first one 8 years ago. I was sitting right there where Claire's sitting at now, and Claire was just a little baby girl then. But she's all excited about all that was going on. And she'd sit so calmly, and everything was fine, and she watched them come in with everything. And just at the end, or in the program, when they started bringing the manger scene in, she got really restless. And she was up, and I tried to pull her down, and I tried to get her to be still, and she kept just trying to get up and everything. And finally, I said, "Clara, what in the world's wrong?" She said, "Papa, I want to see Jesus." She wants that little baby. And you know what Miss Frances has done every year since then? When they do the arrangement, Clara brings Jesus in. And you know what? If you ever get to see him, you want to carry him everywhere you go. And you want to show him off to people. And my dear friend, you're praising God. Miss Esther slipped down and told me. Now, my grandchildren are not perfect. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're a lot like their granny. But anyhow, no, I didn't mean to say that. I've done ruined everything. I didn't know. They look like your papa. But look here. Let me tell you what Miss Esther told us. Charles took, and Brother Bob has a train collection, and it is amazing. It's awesome. And Charles took Clay over to see the trains, and he's got them in his shed, and at Christmas time they put some in the house. And Ms. Esther said they came over, and Clay looked around at all of the decorations and at the train and everything, and she said she looked, and he was down on the floor, and he was propped up just like this, and he was looking at the manger scene. And boy, God got big in her heart, and she said, "You know, look, all of this around here," and he's just laying there looking at Jesus. Can I tell you something? When they left Bethlehem, they left with an urgent message to tell. They left glorifying God, but they left praising him because of their encounter with him, just as a baby. And listen, God's so good to us, we'll just praise him everywhere we go. I tell you the reason we don't win any more people to Christ than we do. We complain too much. We murmur too much about all that's going on in the world and all of our problems. But you know what? What touches the lives of people and influences people is our praise of our Savior and magnifying him. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost of God came and filled those people, they were so overwhelmed, they went outside and they thought they were drunk. I mean, they thought they were so excited about the Spirit of God coming and the message that God gave them to tell. They were just rejoicing. The Bible said they came out praising God, worshiping and praising God. And what that did, it gave an appetite to the people who have no joy, who have no peace. My dear friend, what you ought to take away from Bethlehem is a message to tell. You ought to take away a heart full of praise and glorifying God and an attitude of praise to God for everything he's done for you. He's been so good to you and praising you. He's blessed you. And you ought to just praise him for everything that he's given to you. Don't ever lose that spirit of gratitude and appreciation of what God's done for you. They left praising the Lord. I can't help but praise him. He's taken away every sin I ever had. He's forgiven me of every sin that I've ever committed or will commit already in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would I not want to praise him? He's given me life eternal. I'm going to live forever. Why would I not want to praise him? He's given me a home in heaven and an inheritance as incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Why wouldn't I want to praise him? He's blessed me in so many ways, materially and physically and every other way. Why would I not want to praise him? I want to praise him with all of my heart, with all of my being. And what you ought to take away from Christmas is not the idea of just being totally exhausted, which most of you will be, and totally bankrupt, which a lot of you will be, and overfed, which most of us are. But we must take away from this Christmas an urgent message to tell. and tell everybody we meet about Jesus, and pray that 2012 will be the greatest year we've ever had in telling people about Jesus. And we ought to continue to glorify God. Brother Barry Barber, when he prays every time, Brother Barry's not well this morning, you remember him in prayer too? But he always prays a prayer, and it closes prayer. I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but he always said, "But Lord, we pray that you'd get all the glory." And my dear friend, can I say that whatever God's doing and whatever God's done, this is a great crowd. Brad and I were talking about this. We have little faith, I guess, but this is a great crowd. We had a great crowd on Wednesday night. But we praise God for that and for what God's doing. And listen, I'm convinced in my heart that what we've seen in 2011, nothing compared to what we're going to see 2012. I mean, the phenomenal growth and souls saved and lives changed, what God's going to do in 2012. But you know what? He'll do every bit of it, and we'll give him all the glory. I'm glad he'll let me be a little part of it. I'm glad he'll let me be a little part, but I want to give him all the praise and glory. And then I want to continue to keep a heart of praise, thanksgiving. As I preached and studied through Thanksgiving, how God spoke to my heart about the life of Paul. Paul was a very thankful man. I know he appreciated all the material blessings of God, but more and more, as I studied the life of Paul, you know what he was thankful for? Outside of what the Lord did for him? He was thankful for people. And you got to learn, and let's praise God not only for what he's done for us and for who he is, but let's praise him for putting people in our lives and for the people that are ministering and helping us and that are a blessing to us. Learn to appreciate and praise God for those folks and be thankful for them and acknowledge that and let God do. But the Bible said that there were some that didn't respond to this message as the shepherds did. It said in this passage of Scripture that when others heard it, they just wondered about it. Oh, the shepherds worshiped, but there were some who just wondered. They wonder if it's true or not. And some of you this morning, the sound of my voice, are just wondering, why is it these Christians act like they do? Why is it that they raise their hand? Why is it they stand up when somebody's singing? They just wonder about that. The reason is they've met him. They've encountered him. And I'll tell you, it's not good for you just to wonder about it. Not to think about it. Some people say, well, Brother Bill, I'm planning on getting saved. Well, you better not plan too long. You know, there's a verse in the Bible in the book of Joel says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Jesus Christ is coming again. This whole thing could turn upside down before 2012 is over with. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I were you, I wouldn't wait another moment to trust Christ. And what you ought to take away from this Christmas service, for those of us who are saved, not only those things I point out, but you ought to take away from this service the forgiveness of your sin. You ought to take away from this service the free pardon that's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to take away from this service the assurance of your own personal salvation. And know that if you were to die right now, that you'd go to heaven. I hope you know that. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? What are you going to take away from Christmas? What are you going to take home with you? For those of us who are saved, we're going to take away a message, an urgent message to tell. We're going to take away a heart that glorifies and praises God. We're going to praise him and worship him for all he's done for us. Be a witness in that respect. But for those of you who don't know Christ this morning, the sound of my voice in the radio or in this building, what Christmas is all about is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ coming. And God giving him a body, fashioned him a body. You said, Brother Billy, why did God give him a body? Did he give him a body to learn how to be a carpenter like Joseph? Did he give him a body to be able to paint beautiful pictures? Did he give him a body and a voice to sing? No. He gave him a body to sacrifice. The reason for that human body was that he might bear our sins in his own body on the tree, to suffer and bleed and die for you. And if you don't get that message from Bethlehem, if you don't get that message from Calvary, you've missed it. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you not only are thankful for the blessings of family and the blessings of Christmas and for all the wonderful times you've had. But you can honestly say this morning, I am thankful and I give God glory that I know Him, that I've met Him. And most of all, as Brother Joe Berry said, that He knows me. I know I'm saved, preacher. Would you raise your hand this morning and thank God for that on this Christmas Sunday? God bless you. Thank you so much. You may put your hand down. If you couldn't raise your hand, gifts have been exchanged on last night and days previous, and maybe many today even. Be a gift somewhere with your name on it. Or you've opened several gifts with your name on it. Somebody loved you. Somebody bought it, paid for it, wrapped it, wrote your name on it. All you had to do is accept it. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this morning, if you don't know you're going to go to heaven when you die, you can be born again by the grace of God simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, would you be willing to say, preacher, I could not honestly raise my hand that I was saved and knew it, but I sure would love to know that. And pastor, will you pray for me? I'd like to ask you to just slip your hand right up, right back down. And let me pray with you. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. But I sure want to pray with you. You say, preacher, I'm concerned. If I died now, I missed the whole message of Christmas. I'm not saved. Preacher, pray for me. Anybody like that in the building this morning? Across the building. Thank you so much. Anybody here this morning? In the radio audience. You say, preacher, I don't know Christ. I can't see your hand. But I want to say the same thing to you I say to everybody in this building. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. I want to ask you, wouldn't you like the greatest gift you ever got on Christmas? That greatest gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime when people give you a gift, you ask the question, is that for me? It is for you. He died to save the whole world. It's for you. Will you accept it? Will you receive him? Believe in your heart. God gave his son, suffered, bled, and died, and rose again. Will you believe that he died to save you? And if you will do this? The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you pray right now? Radio audience and in this building. If you want to be saved, believe in your heart, call on him right now and pray a simple prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. The wage of sin is death. And I believe, Lord Jesus, that you came at Christmas as a little baby with a body that could bear my sin. I believe you took all of my sin to Calvary. I believe you died for me. And you were buried and rose again. And you're alive forevermore. Right now, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. In the building, friends in the building and in the radio audience, if you pray that prayer, we sure would love to know it. If you're here in a moment as we give the invitation, I'd invite you to come and let folk know. I'll pray with you here at the altar. I'll help you any way I can. Ladies will pray with the ladies, men with the men. But what a wonderful joy to be saved on Christmas Day. And for our friends in the radio audience right now, if you've prayed that prayer, if you receive Christ, please call us at the church, 894-4120. Let us know that you trusted Christ. Will you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, God will work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And I pray, God, that you do what you want to do here this morning. And God will thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, Brother Brad is going to share with us a song, a verse or two of a song. And I want to say, first of all, to the saints of God, I know this is true, that if you have met him, if you've heard the message and you've met him, you want to tell it. I know if you've heard the message and you've met him, you want to glorify God for what he did for you. And if you've heard the message and you've met him, you want to praise him for forgiving you and for all he's done. I would invite you on this last Sunday of 2011, on Christmas Day, to come and offer to him the sacrifice of praise around this altar and thank him for all he's done for you and for all he will do.